What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
In Michigan, a man is arrested after murdering and dismembering a body and leaving it at a local truck stop. In Texas, a group home operator is slammed with multiple charges, including the use of her disabled client's debit cards. And a man is shot in the head during an altercation on a Brooklyn subway. These stories and more coming at you today, Thursday, March 21st on Real Life Real Crime Daily. And I'm Jim Chapman.
And I'm Woody Everton.
And I'm Mike Agavino. A little groggy on a Thursday.
Yes, indeed.
We're doing the Thursday show right now.
Yes.
But it's Wednesday. Tomorrow, Thursday, we're actually going to be in Broussard.
Underneath the giant American flag.
So,
with Roy and Kristen and Kristen.
So you folks know, it's Friday's show that will be the show and tell from Broussard.
Absolutely. Can't wait. Going to be our.
Bringing my own scalpel.
Be our first time we did one on remote.
It will be the first time.
It truly will.
And what a place to start. I mean,
yeah,
for our first road trip to be a, you know,
hey,
for me to get to perform an autopsy.
Right. Maybe they have those fake
I've been taking online classes. It doesn't look that hard.
Yeah.
No, I've been playing the game Operation. Have you ever played Operation?
Yeah.
He's playing time. If you can win Operation against your wife and your two kids, you're ready. Pretty much to do an autopsy.
I hope you actually get to witness one.
I don't win an operation.
I think you're going to get to.
I hear the electric thing going off every 2 seconds.
Yeah, with that bone saw. Anyway, let's get down to some true crime time for Thursday.
All right, and we're going to start off in Detroit, and a man has been arrested on suspicion of murder after a woman's dismembered body was discovered at a local truck stop.
Another cut-up body. Was it next to the landing strip?
It might have been.
There is a truck
stop
right
there. On Monday, the Mitchell Police Department received a call from a truck driver who said he found a woman's body under a pile of pallets in the I-90 Travel Center parking lot. The driver was backing up his vehicle but did not want to run over the pallets, so he got out of the vehicle to inspect how much space he had. The truck driver noticed what appeared to be a gut pile lying in the middle of the parking lot.
I bet he smelled it before he saw it.
Initially, he thought it was from an animal. He walked closer and discovered it was a human foot and hand, so he called police, of course. A detective arrived at the scene and noted it looked like the victim had been hit by a car and dragged away. The victim was about 11 to 13 feet from the suspected point of impact. The affidavit said a woman was wearing a yellow shirt and black underwear, the woman. A pair of jeans was found near her body, while a pair of socks were left where she was most likely hit. The victim's body appeared as if it had been tangled in the axle of a semi or ran over multiple times due to the twisting and distortion of the body. The body was taken to the medical examiner's office for an autopsy, where she was identified as Melody Gooch. Gooch's entire skull was missing from her body, as well as a portion of her spinal cord. She wore dentures, and the lower set was still attached to her jaw. The forensic pathologist said she had most likely been dead 24 to 36 hours. The pathology report also noted that Gooch did not die from any other trauma other than being hit, struck, or run over by a vehicle. Additional detectives looked through a nearby dumpster and discovered a trash bag containing a woman's shoe covered in blood, as well as a skinned and severed head.
Skinned?
Mm-hmm. Skinned. Surveillance footage from the area also reportedly showed a truck making suspicious movements in the parking lot, and it was in the area for about 30 to 35 minutes. See, Woody's detective hat right now is going ding, ding, ding. I can look at him and tell. The truck reportedly stopped at the dumpster, briefly left, returned to the lot minutes later. The truck backed in and out of the parking lot and looked as if the driver was trying to precisely park in a spot, if you can imagine that, even though there was no other trucks or trailers besides it. It's clicking. Yeah. Detectives contacted Gooch's next of kin and learned she was last seen with a guy by the name of Anthony Harris, who just so happened to be that truck driver. Yeah. Yep. Harris reportedly told Gooch's family she walked into a store to get food but never came out. His truck records, however, put him in the area around the same time that Gooch was killed. The South Dakota Attorney General announced Harris was arrested in Washington and being charged with second-degree murder and improper disposal. And I believe, from reading that article, that he was running back over her back and forth with that semi, and that's why it looked like he was trying to precisely park in a parking spot for 30 minutes.
The fact that her socks were far away from the body. Mm-hmm. and her shoes in a bag.
If you hit by a car, you don't put your shoes in a bag and throw it in a dumpster, right?
Pants were off.
Yeah.
Skinning her head? What's with skinning?
That's probably part of the trauma from the being run over.
Yeah.
It's not like he had a potato peeler or was out there doing it. I wouldn't imagine. But who knows? I mean, I'm sure more's going to come out if they were dating or whatever. He picked her up at her house.
But it didn't say where he picked her up.
I mean, because, you know, the common term lot lizards being prostitutes of work, truck stops. I'm not saying this lady was, but I don't know.
They were in a relationship, though. The
family knew him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that she probably wasn't a high risk victim. But something went wrong, huh?
Something went very wrong. It's actually horrible and awful.
It really is one
of the more graphic stories.
Was the truck stop in Michigan or was it in? Were they catching when Detroit. He was on the road in South Dakota? Okay, because you said South Dakota.
No, Washington was where he was caught. Didn't say South Dakota.
You said something about South Dakota right before you said something about Washington.
Is this South Dakota?
Well, the South Dakota Attorney General's office announced he was arrested in Washington.
Yeah.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah, maybe. But he was from Detroit. He was a truck driver. So he's from Detroit, but it occurred in South Dakota, and they found him in Washington.
They said he dumped the body in Detroit?
No, he was a Detroit man.
Right.
Okay. Follow me. This occurred in South Dakota. Murder.
He
continues driving his truck.
So that was my confusion. It didn't happen in Michigan. It happened in South Dakota.
Okay. Gotcha.
He was just from Michigan.
Horrible.
Yeah. Awful.
Horrible. I don't know.
Okay. Well, let's go to New York, where the NYPD says a 36-year-old man named DeJuan Robinson is currently in critical condition after being shot by his own weapon during an altercation with a 32-year-old man named Yuancy Obuad on the subway in Brooklyn. This happened on Thursday afternoon. Obawad entered the northbound A train at the Nostrand Avenue station. When the vehicle began moving, which was around 4:45 p.m., Robinson approached Obawad. Per the NYPD, Robinson was described as aggressive and provocative towards Obawad. Words were exchanged between the two, and during words, it became physical. That's according to NYPD Transit Chief Michael Kemper. Robinson raised a knife or a razor blade towards the younger Obawad. He then put the unidentified sharp object down and took a gun out of his jacket pocket. Once he had the firearm in his hand, he then started walking toward the other man in a menacing way and started yelling at him, and a physical altercation ensued, and police believe Obawad wrestled the gun away from Robinson, and Obawad then fired multiple shots into Robinson's head. Robinson was then transported to New York Presbyterian Hospital, where he remains in critical condition. Obawad was questioned by detectives, but no charges were initially filed. Following the incident, footage that was taken by witnesses who were at the scene on the subway has been posted on social media and, of course, like always happens in this case, gone viral. And one witness's video, which was purchased by WABC in New York, shows the subway passengers after the shooting all ducking for cover in the middle of the subway car. Throughout the video, one woman is heard shouting, "Where's the NYPD? Oh, my God, close the door, close the door." Well, on Friday, the Brooklyn DA said, "At this stage, evidence of self-defense precludes us from filing any criminal charges against the shooter." And this case is getting a lot of play in New York because there's the other case from 6 months ago or so involving, I think his name is Daniel Penny, who is the guy who choked the former Army or Marine, but he
I remember that.
He grabbed the hold of a homeless guy who was going after people on the train. That guy did not make it, and they're still charging that guy, Penny, and that case is still pending. But there's a lot of similarities, obviously, between that case and this one, and a lot of people are pointing to this case as maybe showing a little bit of a turnaround in the New York DA's office and a little bit of movement back toward law and order. I don't know. We'll see.
I don't know. I mean, right to defend yourself, certainly. And then, like that Marine or whatever he was, they're going to have to drop that shit. I mean, that other guy was trying to kill someone else, and he choked him out on accident.
Well, maybe.
He got him off. If he hadn't stopped him, then
I'm glad he did, and I'm not.
I met the guy that he was attacking.
It was very, very excessive form of a choke.
I think, that's what you're trained to do. I mean,
you hold it for 3 seconds, that's it. They're out.
Yeah.
You hold it for a minute.
Yeah. Well, that's another case where they're very worried about, if it goes to trial, they're very worried about jury construction because it'd be a Manhattan case.
Yeah.
And,
you
never know what's going to happen.
True. Very true.
Right.
That's going to be an interesting case, and I'm sure you'll bring to us and keep us updated on as far as that goes, but wow.
I will try, Jim. Unless there's breaking news from D's Nuts and I'm unable
D's Nuts. D's Nuts can be breaking news. We ought to come up with a D's Nuts segment.
Its wing.
Yeah.
Woody, what Something do you think like about that?
Strange names.
Don't do that to me.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
It's springtime, boys. The grass is green, the birds are chirping, and the kids will be out of school soon. That makes it the perfect time to plan a family vacation. And we know from the stories we cover that this is not exactly the time to take the family to the Caribbean. You don't want to end up in the middle of some cartel drug shootout. So this year, it's time to take an international journey. And of course, a big international trip is just one reason to learn a new language with Rosetta Stone. You might have a different one. Maybe you want to connect with family or friends living overseas. Maybe you want to acquire a new skill for work or better understand a certain culture. Rosetta Stone has helped me have fun with my mother and at least have partial conversations in Italian after only a few lessons.
Rosetta Stone is the trusted expert for 30 years with millions of users and 25 languages offered. Spanish, French, Italian, German, Korean, Chinese, Japanese, Dutch, Arabic, Polish, and many more. Rosetta Stone immerses you in many ways. No English translation, so you really learn to speak, listen, and think in that language. Intuitive process, you pick up a language naturally. Designed for long-term retention. Speech recognition. The true accent feature is like having a personal trainer for your accent. Rosetta Stone is convenient and an amazing value.
That's right, Woody. A lifetime membership has all 25 languages for any and all trips and language needs. That's lifetime access to all 25 language courses Rosetta Stone offers for 50% off. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, Real Life Real Crime and Daily Show listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off, unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today.
Sayonara.
Do you guys know what May 12th is? Sunday, May 12th?
Mama's Day.
That would be correct. It's Mother's Day. So let me ask you, do you basically get your mom the same gift every year for Mother's Day? Maybe some flowers, some chocolates, maybe a robe or a framed photo, boring stuff, right?
Right.
Well, let me tell you about something that's totally cool and different from Mother's Day that will never wilt, spoil, or put an extra 10 pounds around her waist. I'm talking about MyLifeInABook.com. It's a unique service that turns your mom's life stories into a beautiful book. Pretty unique. Cool, right?
Right.
Here's how it works. Every week, MyLifeInABook.com will send her a question via email. These can be pre-written questions about her life or any custom questions you wish to ask. Your mom can either type a response to the email or she can record her voice if she prefers to do that, or she can do both. Cool. And MyLifeInABook.com then compiles all of her responses into a beautiful keepsake book as well as an audiobook. And if you want, and she's up to the task technically, you know, the audiobook is a great extra thing to be able to do. Imagine discovering stories about her youth, adventures, and the challenges she overcame. This book becomes a legacy, something you and your future generations can treasure. Your mom's given you a lifetime of stories. This is kind of your chance to give her a way to share them. Every family's a little bit different. And in my family, we love to give each other a really hard time. So I've taken the approach in doing this of asking my mom to comment on some of those family moments that might be a bit embarrassing to other family members. Last week, my question was, Mom, did you feel guilty that day you hit me over the head with your wooden clog and Dad had to take me to the hospital for 8 stitches? Mom's response, back in the day, I was the disciplinarian of the house. And when you were 8 years old, you refused to get out of Nancy's, that's my sister's, plastic kiddie pool. I told you 10 times to get out of the damn pool. You didn't listen, so I chased you around the yard. And when you slipped, I nailed you right on the head. That was the last time you got in that kiddie pool. Of course, Dad had to lie to the ER and tell him that that you fell on your head, but I nailed you good. The entire process with My Life in a Book is simple, and in the end, Mom will have a great keepsake that can remain in your family for generations.
Check out MyLifeInABook.com and use code RLRC at checkout for 10% off. Create an unforgettable gift for your mom this Mother's Day. That's MyLifeInABook.com and use code RLRC for 10% off today. But for now, we'll stay away from that and we'll go into Riley Strain. And let's talk about Riley Strain for a minute. This guy, when I initially saw this report, I thought this was not going to be a big deal. They were going to find this guy within a few days' time. He just got drunk with his friends and frat buddies and, you know, ended up somewhere he shouldn't have been, and he's going to show up. Well, that was several weeks ago. Riley Strain is still missing, and this is a big story all over the country. To kind of catch everybody up, this was a frat brother. He was in Nashville partying with his frat boys, right? And went into a bar called, it was Luke Bryan's Broadway Bar. He was very, very intoxicated by the time he made it there. Luke Bryan's bar served him one drink, and they figured it out. This dude's All right. way too drunk to be All drinking, right. So they give him a couple of waters to try to, I don't want to say sober him up, but keep him from drinking alcohol. And then they said, look, you got to go. You're way too drunk. So he leaves. And that was the last time he was ever seen. Now, I have college age kids. I know Mike has college age kids. Woody has some just beyond the age of college. Right. And so all of us, this is like our worst nightmare, right? Mm-hmm. So the issue here is a video came out. And this video is from a business. They were following his path after he left the bar. And the crazy thing, y'all, is when he was in the bar, he was with like several other people, his friends, right? Mm-hmm. He leaves, gets kicked out, and none of them leave with him.
Yeah,
they let him just go by himself. He doesn't even live in Nashville.
Yeah.
These guys are from a total different area of the country. So that's messed up as it is, but it's not their fault what occurred. But he gets on that camera and you can see him walking, and I'll try to post the surveillance video so you can see it. This guy is someone that you look at and he is walking like Gumby. He's that drunk.
The problem,
running into everything.
The problem with that, if you can see that, the predators on broad.
Absolutely. They can see that. And so it's only a short video. It's maybe 10 seconds in length, and then he disappears from the frame. Well, still searching for this guy, and TikTokers, you know, they take note of this stuff, and two Nashville women on TikTok, they start investigating this on their own and actually go to Nashville and start searching for clues. Hmm. Well, on Sunday, they find Riley Strain's bank card on the edge of the river. Okay. It was two particular TikTokers named Anna Clending and Brandy Bannon. They're just passionate about helping bring Strain home, they say. They searched along what's known as the Cumberland Rivers. It's a steep embankment laden with brush and garbage. And it was the last place he was spotted on camera, and they actually found his ID. I can't believe the police didn't come across that. You got two TikTokers coming across it. His cell phone also last pinged near that location and the area is close to a homeless encampment. Clendon spotted the card on Sunday morning near the water. Bannon said she had been searching homeless camps and the riverbank since the prior Tuesday. On Sunday, the girls joined forces in an effort to find significant pieces of evidence. As I told you, he was seen walking in the wrong direction, incidentally, after leaving Luke Bryan's bar very intoxicated. That was around where the credit card was found. Now, questions arose as to whether Strain's case would be changed from a criminal investigation. They're not even looking at this as a criminal investigation right now. They're looking at it as a missing persons case in light of that bank card discovery. And a Metro Police spokesman said, we do not have evidence pointing to foul play at this present time.
First thing,
what do y'all think about
run
that?
The bank records. If nobody even attempted to use it, it probably takes a robbery out as motive. I don't know. I mean, getting fucked up like that, it's not his friend's fault. I've been, we'd go to the bar together, 10 or 15 of us, and you may have disappeared with a chick or something, or, they're out on the dance floor doing something. So there's no victim shaming. When you get ready to leave.
I mean, if one of your buddies is getting tossed for being too drunk.
But if you don't see it.
Well, they did, though. His friend followed him outside and went back in.
That's fucked up.
Yeah. That is messed up.
And the
I agree.
That riverbank, I guess, just walked off, right? But more, I mean, if you're stumbling, walking like Gumby, like you said, look, Nashville, rents are outrageous. Everybody goes down there and try to make a name for themselves. And homeless is a big deal, like it is everywhere.
Great point.
But within that, or people that cruise, like in Austin, all those guys that are turning up in Lady Bird Lake, you come out of a bar and you that drunk, better believe there's predators on the street watching, even just to try to pickpocket you.
Yeah.
And then they'd be like, what's all going on, homie? Put your arm around you and take you. And they could have rolled him for cash and dropped that card. I'm not saying it didn't happen, but he could have walked off into the river too.
I mean, they've redone, I mean, so much of it since, you know, I lived there a gazillion years ago, but really all along the Cumberland from where all those bars are on Broadway is actually really nice and really well lit. He must have gone the other way.
They said he was walking the wrong direction.
Yeah, he must have gone the other way, which is just more the if you go out together as a group, you got a wingman, you know, it's one thing if you're – if somebody picks up a girl or whatever and you agree to separate and then meet back up somewhere else. But you never let a guy that effed up
right.
leave the bar by himself.
Right.
He was bad. When y'all see that video, it is in my opinion, it'd be as drunk as you could possibly get without being passed out. Well, you can just tell from the way he's walking.
His friends are going to regret that for the rest of their lives.
Yeah. Prayers that his family locates him.
As a missing persons now, you know, those cops down there deal with drunks and shit like that all the time. And I'm sure they reported it the next morning or whatever. And they were like, you know, let's see if he doesn't turn up in some chick's hotel room
yeah.
or whatever, and as time goes on, it turns into a shit show.
Well, he could probably have, you know, pretty easily fallen in that river, too.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. But dropping your card on the bank of the river, they might have rolled him and thrown him in the river.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How would your card come out?
I agree. And I do want a couple of shout-outs on this one. Number one, we have some fans on the West Bank of New Orleans that I can't say who told me this, but someone told me that they said that they would love a shout out because we got fans on the West. So shout out West Bank
with Gretna, Marrero.
Yeah, all that area.
Shout out to all y'all.
Yes, thank you very much. And I do also want to shout out the person that got me interested in this story initially. I didn't realize it, but they've been following it. Is Wendy Chapman, my wife.
Really?
So
shout out Wendy Chapman.
I read your story.
And very good. Very
brownie good. Points or something for that.
Well, if Wendy actually listened to the show, she might hear you do that story.
But. Yeah, she does. She listens.
She told me she only did Kinky Crimes and Dumb
She fast Fiddles. Forwards she, my story.
So she gets to hear that at home.
Yeah. Yeah. She fast forwards mine. So anyway.
I don't fast forward any of
prayers to that his family finds him.
Well, they're going to find him in the river somewhere. He's going to pop up sooner or later.
We're going to go to St. Louis. And
St. Louis.
And we're going to talk about an unbelievably violent fight between really kids from a junior high school and one who gets severely, severely injured to the point where she remains in a coma, I think almost 10 days, 2 weeks from when this happened. But
I read yesterday she's definitely still in a coma. Yeah.
Well, I found the story originally while doing some research for the Death of Journalism podcast and thought it needed to be shared on the Daily show as well. This is one of those stories where the media coverage of the story, or rather the lack of media coverage of the story, became a huge part of the story. It involves a brutal fight between girls who attended the Hazelwood East High School outside of St. Louis. The fight did not occur on the school's campus, but in a neighborhood close to the school during the walk home from school. A 15-year-old who has been identified only as Kay Lee was brutally beaten by another teen and lays fighting for her life in critical condition in a St. Louis hospital. The victim's family is saying she has suffered severe brain damage. Kaylee has a skull fracture and frontal lobe damage after her head was repeatedly smashed to the ground, and I mean to the cement ground, during this brawl last Friday. After news of the altercation broke, the Hazelwood School District released a statement condemning the violence within the community. Meanwhile, Missouri Attorney General Andrew Bailey called for the 15-year-old girl who beat Kaylee's head into the concrete to be tried as an adult. Bailey posted on Twitter, "This evil and complete disregard for human life has no place in Missouri or anywhere. I'm praying for the victim. The criminal should be charged and tried as an adult. If the victim dies, the offense should rise to a homicide." The altercation broke out at about 2:30 last Friday near Hazelwood High School. Hazelwood East High School students were forced to leave school early Monday after police said they were investigating multiple threats over the viral video showing the fight. The video is brutal. It's so brutal that it was very hard to find. Now it's out there, but in the immediate days around this incident, you couldn't find the video, and none of the media in St. Louis, none of the websites were showing the video. The very same media outlets that that refused to show the video were very vague about the details of the case, and so that just made it worse when the video finally did surface, because a lot of people accused those media outlets of trying to, you know, hide the truth of the case or you know, minimize what happened here in this story. And so it looks like the one girl is going to be tried as an adult. Kaylee and her family are still hoping and praying that she's going to come out of it and that she has a chance to recover. They started a GoFundMe for her that originally they had a $40,000 goal. The thing is now nearly $400,000. So they've certainly raised enough money to provide the kind of care that she might need should she ever regain consciousness, but they just don't know whether she will or not. I was going to post the clip. I don't think I'm going to post the clip. If you want to see, if you want to see this, you now can search it and find it. Warning that it's unbelievably violent, and
you showed it to me last week or the week before, whenever it was, and it's absolutely shocking. I mean, I'm talking about, like, look, we fought all the time when we were kids, and we beat people's ass, had my ass beat a couple times, whatever. But nobody slamming somebody's head into the cement over and over. I'm talking about, like, violently picking you up, slamming, and I don't know how the little girl's alive.
Yeah, the level of anger. I mean, that's the unbelievable thing. I wouldn't think a 15-year-old, regardless of any circumstance, could hold that much rage in there.
It was unreal.
To do something like that. I mean, and that's what really strikes you if you do watch the video.
Did they ever say what it was over?
No, I continue to check up on this, but there's no, and it didn't start as a, these two were at each other. It started as a big group crowd, thing, right. And then they sort of became the matchup. Yeah. But it's horrible, crazy.
horrible.
Well, hopefully somehow maybe she can come out of it.
It'd be a miracle.
All right, we're going to bring you to Tennessee.
Tennessee. We like Tennessee.
Second
today.
Time today. But we're going to bring you to Mike's favorite store in Tennessee. No?
TENNESSEE, Tennessee.
Bucky's.
Oh, Bucky's. There's a Bucky's in Tennessee now?
There is a Bucky's store in Tennessee.
Cleanest bathroom on the road you will find.
Absolutely.
And a lot of gas pumps.
A lot of gas pumps.
So a man brought his service duck.
His service duck.
Yeah, similar to a dog, but a duck. Into a Bucky's.
He has adopted winged creatures now. Okay, go.
Into a Bucky's.
Bucky's, okay.
In Tennessee. Mm-hmm. And he's been banned from the chain of Bucky's. Justin Wood brought that service pet known as Wrinkle the Duck.
Wrinkle.
Into the store.
Fuck, you ain't even talking to me.
Into the store where they shopped around and received plenty of positive attention from the shoppers, as you would think. Wrinkle remained inside a stroller for most of the visit, but he would occasionally come out of his stroller and high five interested onlookers with her beak. So Wood posted the video. Now he has a huge YouTube. Right. And the name of his channel is Seductive, D-U-C-K, in capital letters, where he has dozens of videos of his excursions. His whole YouTube channel is about him going all over the country with his duck. The channel has 2.7 million subscribers. And that video in particular had 170,000 views in less than one day. When I saw it. Now, after they entered the store, they were approached by an employee who told them that service dogs were the only dogs allowed inside the store. She's a service duck, Wood responds.
Calling bullshit on that one.
So they were allowed to continue until a second employee told him, pets are not allowed in here. Okay, but she's a service animal, he said, adding that he could give the store three forms of identification to prove it. Huh. They were allowed to keep shopping until a third employee approached him and said, unfortunately, your animal can't be in here. There's no pets in here. Your animal, even if it's considered a service animal, you have to be able to contain it. And it can fly out, the employee said. If it were a dog, it'd have to be on a leash. And the YouTuber turns around and he says, can I put her on a leash? And the employee said, that would be fine. And at that point, he takes Wrinkle. He puts him on an imaginary leash, and the duck continues to follow him around the store. He makes his purchases, and he's informed by an employee that the cops are outside. Yeah. So here's where it gets good. Once he left the store, he was approached by a police officer who told him they're requesting you be banned from the store, adding that it was, in fact, every Bucky's location and that he would be charged with trespassing if he was caught with in another one, duck or no duck. And the officer reminded Wood it wasn't his decision. Hey, it's not my decision, during their friendly exchange. Who loves Bucky's? Wood said in a video. He don't love us. That's okay. He added with a shrug, she did nothing but made everyone happy. And he ended the video by saying, it's not an adventure if something doesn't go wrong. Whenever you get some ups and downs, know that there's better stuff waiting around the corner. Now, Bucky's actual pet policy, the health code prohibits live animals, including dogs, where food could potentially be contaminated. Oh. There are exceptions for service animals and animals that work with police officers. For people with disabilities, specially trained service animals play an absolute vital role. They make it possible for those with disabilities to work, travel, and stay safe, and in some cases even stay alive. But I have a picture that I'll post of Wrinkle the duck. And, you know, this guy, who does he look like to you, Mike, when you look at his picture? He looks like Kid Rock to me, like if you look at him real fast. But I'll post it. There's kind of a little Kid Rockness going on there. But this video now, I checked it this morning, it's got over a million
views. Damn, that's a big-ass duck.
That's a big duck.
Well, let me tell you what. If he can provide three pieces of ID to say that duck's a service animal, I'd be shocked to shit.
You know, but in even if he could, here's the thing. What's it hurt? I mean, people sometimes take it too far.
Has he flown with Wrinkle?
I don't know.
We'll have to look at the because that would be the test of whether he's really.
Wrinkle got his, everybody poops.
And especially ducks.
Right, right. So, I mean, and they serve a shit ton of food in Bucky's.
And they have a legit policy argument there.
If you got, if you're a disabled veteran or a blind person and you have your dog or whatever, come on, man. That dude's fucking got 3 million followers. He knows what he's doing. He went to Bucky's because Bucky's is better than Walmart for getting attention.
That's right. Yeah. He was wanting to get kicked out of Bucky's, is what you said. I'm a little surprised
that Bucky's didn't embrace this. It seems like the kind of place that would, especially if you see that a bunch of customers with little kids are coming up to the duck and
high fiving the duck.
That they wouldn't have been.
That dude's doing it for profit.
That's right. Yeah. Just something a little lighter. Since we had such a horrific story to jump out the gate with you.
That's interesting.
I wonder if Wrinkle knows Albert the alligator.
It might be friends.
They might have met on the circuit.
Wrinkle wouldn't last 2 seconds with that.
Yeah, I was thinking an alligator.
Albert would never hurt Wrinkle.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. There are
six kids missing from that neighborhood that have never been reported. But
I did not hurt Pawpaw or whatever is his name.
I did not hurt
Maggie or Pawpaw. Oh, my God. I don't miss him. Let's go to Georgia, where a Georgia doctor has been found liable in a civil lawsuit filed by a couple accusing him of posing pictures of their decapitated newborn to Instagram. I remember this story when it originally happened, and I don't know, Jim, you might have done the story. I'm not sure if we did it or not, but it'll come back to you in a minute as I go through it. So according to the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, the AJC, Dr. Jackson Gates and his business, which is called Medical Diagnostic Choices, MDC, have been found liable for intentional infliction of emotional distress, invasion of privacy, and fraud in a lawsuit filed by Jessica Ross and Trevion Isaiah Taylor Sr. The couple filed the civil suit in September after they claimed Dr. Gates intentionally posted images of their deceased infant to Instagram without their permission. He was hired to perform an autopsy on the child who had died while Ross was in delivery. According to the court documents, Dr. Gates and MDC failed to file answers to Ross and Taylor's complaint and must pay damages. They're happy with the result. However, there is still no celebration or joy with this outcome, the couple's attorney told the AJC. They were taken advantage of not only by the hospital, but also by this Dr. Gates, and it's this entire episode has been very difficult on them. The 20-year-old Ross also filed a separate lawsuit against Southern Regional Medical Center in Clayton County, where she gave birth in July. In that lawsuit, Ross alleged that the staff's negligence during her child's delivery led to her baby being decapitated. Following the baby's death, hospital staff told Ross and Taylor that the baby, quote, didn't make it,
right?
But they were told nothing about the condition of the body. Ross and Taylor actually learned of the baby's condition 3 days after the baby's death when they received a call on July 13th from the Willie A. Watkins funeral home. The funeral home informed both of the parents and the ME's office about the state of the remains. The doctor and the hospital had, quote, specifically withheld information about the decapitation. So the actual autopsy stated that the baby's shoulders didn't descend due to shoulder dystocia, which happens when a baby's shoulders or shoulder gets stuck during vaginal delivery. The initial lawsuit alleged that the physician, quote, negligently applied excessive traction on the baby's head and the hospital, quote, failed to do a cesarean section in a timely and proper manner. All this led to Trevion Isaiah Taylor Jr.'s decapitation and death. In January, the Clayton County ME ruled the baby's death a homicide. So that part of things is pending. But going through that kind of trauma and then not learning for 3 days that the reason your baby actually died is because it was decapitated because a doctor applied too much force trying to have a vaginal delivery rather than going to cesarean, the hospital covering it up, at least appears to have covered it up for 3 days.
The cover-up is where the biggest problem is. Yeah. That because if you're attempting to cover something up, you know you've done something wrong, right?
Even if you're lying by omission.
Right. And then you hire a third party to do an independent autopsy, and that person ends up posting pictures of your decapitated child. Yeah. I mean, it's unfreaking believable.
It is.
We definitely did the story, but we did not have the third party posting the pictures.
Right. Yeah, that's the new part.
That's crazy. That's God bless.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
Why in the fuck would they post some pictures of it? That's just, they ought to be arrested.
All right, let's go to Texas. And look, Woody, I know for a fact that there's little things in life you hate more than people who take advantage of disabled clients.
Absolutely.
Things of that nature. And so I wish I didn't have this story to bring everybody, but I do. Police arrested a 49-year-old community living home operator on suspicion of abandoning and endangering clients, including a woman with cerebral palsy who had cut her wrist to escape the facility. So the Arlington Police Department said investigators determined 49-year-old Relga Beckner and her staff failed to adequately care for clients at an unlicensed group home she owned and operated, known as Love and Caring for People, LLC. Beckner prevented clients from seeking medical attention, tried to eliminate all communication between clients and families, used clients' debit cards without their knowledge, and maintained possession of deceased clients' property, including phones and vehicles. Love and Caring for People, LLC, reportedly serves adults who need daily supervised personal care. The police department's behavioral health law enforcement unit has investigated numerous claims of abuse, neglect, theft, and fraud at that facility. Now, a victim with cerebral palsy told police she lived at the home for several days and was told she'd have a bed. However, her caretakers only provided her with a mattress on the floor. The woman's caretakers failed to change her feces-filled diaper for days. Ugh. They wouldn't allow the woman to leave and gave her an unprescribed mint-flavored liquid medicine. The caretakers kicked the victim and poured water on her, which limited her breathing. The woman told police she asked to leave repeatedly and cut her own wrist, hoping someone would call 911. Mm-hmm. Wrap your mind around that. However, no one did call 911, and the woman texted a friend saying she was being held hostage. Police and first responders performed a welfare check and noticed the woman's wounds on her arms, validating her claims of slitting her wrist. When the fire department asked the woman if she wanted to go to the hospital, she screamed, yes. The victim is heard yelling, get me out of here, on body cam footage. Investigators said all of the caretakers were either related to Beckner or dated her family members, and police could not find medical license for any of the staff. The caretakers also provided clients with substances that prevented them from leaving the facility. Arlington Police Lieutenant Kim Harris said some were being physically assaulted, some were being neglected to the point of an individual who was in a wheelchair did not have a wheelchair in the home and would get around crawling on his arms. We found scratches on the arms as well. Police said they identified multiple potential victims, and there are five different properties, y'all, related to Love and Caring for People, LLC. Officials removed victims from the five homes, and some of them had to undergo emergency medical care due to malnourishment. Investigators are also looking into how Beckner took ownership of the facility, saying the previous homeowner handed down the property in a handwritten sentence less than a month before she died.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that's a little suspicious.
Barry. On March 11th, police announced the arrest of Beckner on one count of abandoning, endangering an individual in imminent danger of bodily injury. Even though there are additional victims, police said Beckner has only been charged in connection with one case so far, which is the woman with cerebral palsy. Additional charges are pending.
Oh, they're coming. They got her under arrest on the one.
You can't do enough bad stuff to these people.
Arlington PD having their own department to handle this kind of cases, their own detective division, are they going to drill them? And you just reminded me of another RRC original tell after Katrina, some shit that went down. But the it's just fucking.
What kind of license do they have to have?
Evidently, they don't have to have any. They could just put up the sign. If nobody comes to check, the state doesn't know you're there. And I guess at some point the feds would have called up them because they're getting, I'm sure they're billing, you know, whatever, Medicaid or whatever for it. But you know, prison's full of dummies. But I can't wait for that motherfucker to go to prison.
Yeah.
It's weird. California had this a similar situation where these treatment facilities, basically rehabs, that there was no state licensing around them. And so anyone could open a rehab center. Yep. And people were opening these places in Malibu and
Florida was the same way.
And charging unbelievable amounts to wealthy people to come there. And in many cases, they were supplying them with drugs. They were doing whatever those people, wanted.
It was well documented case. I had one here, and they didn't give a fuck as long as you had an insurance card.
Yeah.
And look.
As long as they had someone to bill.
Big church, mattress on the floors, and dopers, and I ended up working a doper death behind it. I can't remember what I named the name of that episode. But as long as you got an insurance card, you're welcome.
All right, it's Mile High Crime.
Mile High.
And look, I'm excited about this Mile High Crime, y'all, because this may be the best Mile High yet. And the great thing about this Mile High is I have the entire video that I will certainly be posting on the Facebook page. I already have it ready to go, but we're going to tell you about a drunken airline passenger who was barred from a flight for abusing staff. And on her way out the door, she mocks the penis size and salaries of cops. Uh-oh. And screams as she was hauled away and then pees herself on the terminal floor. All of this goes on at the Dallas-Fort Worth Airport.
There you go, back at DFW.
DFW. She claimed to only have two very full, in her description, vodka tonics to drink at the airport, but was slurring and incoherent for much of her chaotic arrest. Newly released police body cam footage begins when cops were told of the situation by three American Airlines staff who alleged that she hit them with her phone. They arrested her for public intoxication and assault and carried her out of the airport when she flat out refused to move. During this time, she shouted abuse and mocked salaries of the police officers, which she speculated were around $60,000, penis sizes, sex lives, and screamed about her platinum frequent flyer status. Yeah. From what police were able to piece together, the trouble began when she tried to board a flight. One female staff member said she told the passenger she needed to consolidate her carry-on as she had too many, and she got a little upset. She said, "Okay, just go." When she gets to the door, she starts yelling and swearing, "Are you fucking kidding me?" For unknown reasons, she told police. As she was telling the passenger she needed to stop swearing, the captain gets off the plane because some of his paperwork was missing. The staff called the manager to bring the missing paperwork, and the woman overheard her, and she said, "What did you say the captain said? You're not going on that flight. Get out of my face. You cannot be talking to my flight attendants like that," the captain came over and told her. Staff told police she became belligerent and she started recording on her phone, getting in the face of three ground staff and swiping them in the chest with the phone. Police were called and sat her down in handcuffs while they tried to figure out what's going on. They talked to the staff, one of whom said she wanted to press assault charges. Meanwhile, a policewoman, she tries to get the passenger's side of the story, but she mostly just wanted to go home. This from the passenger. "I have flown for 30 years. I am a high school graduate, and I worked my way out of the darkest hole anyone could imagine," she said at one point. "And you can fuck off. I hate this place."
All right.
"I don't care. I don't care. Don't I just want to go really home." Feel. Yeah. The woman eventually gives a partial explanation that she was flying to Colombia on a work trip with colleagues who made it onto the plane. "They didn't let me on because I got on I got on at the wrong time. I was late. I'm usually on so early. I was just trying to joke, joke around with my coworkers. I assure you, I wasn't doing anything to screw with these travel agents. They're the best people ever. This is so dumb. The passenger said she had two very full vodka tonics at the airport, but not any more than she usually drinks when she travels. I'm not innocent. I'm definitely not completely sober. But I'm not as drunk as you think I am. I'm just super traumatized. She got progressively more agitated and started screaming about wanting to speak to her lawyer immediately. I'm trying to be nice, and now I'm done, so let's call my lawyer. Police decided they had heard enough and told her she was being arrested for public intoxication. They tried to escort her out of the airport, but she refused, and they had to frog march her away from the gate. Do you know what that is?
Yeah, that's when you handcuff behind your backs and shackled. And
yep.
Bouncy like that.
and there's video of it. Yeah. Pieces of mediocre shit of your life. You feel good making $60,000 a year? She yells incoherently. Yeah. You fucking tiny piece of shit. You feel good fucking your wife with your fucking 5-inch dick. Oh, seconds later, and we're quoting, seconds later, the woman fell on the ground, refused to get up, and the police realized that she had peed her pants. Did she piss herself? Yep, she did, one cop said. The woman insisted she didn't, but another policewoman said she could smell the urine. It's probably the guy who fucked your wife before he fucked you, she responded.
Oh, my God.
This woman was feeling it. While she was lying on the ground, the woman bizarrely asked officers, "How am I acting right now?" "It doesn't matter. It's how you were acting before, how we ended up on the ground," the policeman said. She shot back, "How I was acting before is subjective. I'm not acting like that now."
Oh, my God.
"You are trying to detain someone who is unwilling to be detained. How is that fair?" Giving up on her walking, police straps her legs together and carried her horizontally until they got security and she agreed to walk out. Before the video ends, she says, "I'm going to go take a," or the officer says, "I'm going to go take a bath," because he had her piss.
Yeah.
On him, and that really was what set this gentleman off.
Oh my God.
And we have the entire video, and y'all, the story doesn't do justice to what you're going to see.
Oh my God.
Definitely a mile high crime.
Of pissing off the police, too.
Yeah, how about that? Have you ever had any more piss on you, Woody?
What did she have? Gin and tonics? Did she have vodka tonics before?
Two full, very full.
They must have been very, 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 very full.
Yes. And she looks like, you know, on the video, very distinguished looking woman.
She was making fun of the sours.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, she showed her true colors, as they say.
Isn't she wonderful?
And she got some real estate.
She got some real estate. They put her, they got her good. So there's your mile high crime for today.
The frog march.
The frog march.
Give me some banjo.
Ooh, hold on, because then you'll be skipping.
Oh, wait.
Kinky crime.
We got kinky.
No, it's okay.
Crime.
There's no set order. I mean, we can. I know it screws. Mike has this thing in his brain, y'all, and if you go out of order.
I've got a lot of dust. A lot of dust in my brain. So if we go backwards, I get really thrown.
We just
off,
can't wait to hear dumb criminals.
Well, this is dumb criminals, dumb legislators. A special.
There's a lot of those, too.
Well, unless you've been under house arrest in China, you should be aware that Congress is looking to pass legislation right now that would force Chinese divestiture of TikTok. You guys been paying attention to this?
Not really. I saw something about it on social media.
I've seen it.
Well, so the Chinese government's ownership group, which is known as ByteDance, would have to either divest the entity to a U.S. company or a company operating out of a more or less U.S.-friendly country, or cease operations in the United States altogether. So this bill is probably the most bipartisan thing that has happened in this country in at least 4 years or more. The bill passed the House 352-65. So both Democrats and Republicans resoundingly want this thing done and want TikTok divested from the Chinese government. It's now in the Senate for consideration, and President Biden has already said that he will sign it if it comes through the Senate. White House National Security Advisor John Kirby, who you probably see at these press conferences all the time, gave one Sunday, and he said, "We want to see divestiture from this Chinese company because we are concerned, as every American ought to be concerned, about data security and what ByteDance and what the Chinese Communist Party could do with the information that they can glean off of Americans' use of the application. This is nothing like a spy balloon collecting data while floating over U.S. military bases or China buying up millions of acres of U.S. farmland. TikTok is the real problem." Okay, so the I team may have quoted Kirby incorrectly there on that last part, but we'll have to confirm that. That might have been Mike. I've been pretty quiet about the issue, but seeing as it's one of the very few things our government seems to have bipartisan agreement on, the board is allowing me to weigh in. We already know that everyone from Wells Fargo to Bank of America to ISPs to every social media platform, from JDate to Black Planet, not to mention the greatest offenders of all, Google and Meta, are all trading on your data every single day. Some are selling it to aggregators, some are using it directly for advertising purposes, and some are throttling what you see from others and what others see from you, which we used to call censorship. Do I trust Google and Meta more than I trust TikTok? I'm not sure. The TikTok algorithm seems to be built differently and better and allows you to find the kind of content you desire more easily than the others. There's no doubt that this is part of the reason TikTok has the highest adoption rate of any social media company operating in the U.S. But this weekend, I found the reason for declaring that I am against this legislation and I want them to leave TikTok alone.
Don't Kermel's coming?
Here it is.
I like big butts, I cannot lie. You other brothers can't deny. When a girl walks in with an itty bitty waist and a round thing in your face.
Talk about the power of AI. So that's right. Simon and Garfunkel doing Baby Got Back, set to the music of Sound of Silence, with the help of AI. This is the greatest use of TikTok and AI that I have witnessed yet. And for this reason, I say we write our representatives in the Senate and ask them to vote no on this bill. And you can vote no on me and this story by playing some banjos right now. But seriously,
are you against it for real?
Look, I think here's what's going to happen. China is going to say, F you, and we're taking it away.
Mm-hmm.
And
that right.
I mean, if we say that's, you know, you have three choices, sell it to U.S. companies, sell it to other third parties from other countries or shut it down. They may very well choose to shut it down. I mean, the cost of billions that is to shut it down. So but am I serious? No, I think that
I will say
balance the. They're right.
And I will say just very quickly that a lot of companies, are guilty of the exact same thing. Meta, Instagram.
It just started.
They're all guilty.
I read it on Fox News this morning. There's another Chinese company that does the same thing, and they're now going to try to outlaw it. I don't know where it should start. I mean, this is not a political show, obviously.
Right.
But I tell you what. Here it is. The Lumen disaster, that's 1,000 times worse than China's TikTok and some other fucking company.
Right. It's actually not a political story because it's one of the few things we're politically united on as a country. Yeah.
Well, I tell you, a whole bunch of people I know are going to be butthurt if they take TikTok away.
Right. And I enjoy TikTok,
checking it out. Over 19,000 that I have following me and I hadn't posted anything in months.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I enjoy it. And a lot of people make a living off of it.
Yeah. Buy you branding or restaurant.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So,
That part is true, but it's also true that it is a Chinese Communist Party psyop. I mean, that's what it is. That's what it was intended to do. And it would be wonderful if they could actually get it sold to a U.S. company, but I don't think they're going to do that.
I don't. No way. I think. All right. Woody has decided to forgo his.
Yep. I'm going to save that one for next time. But I do love and appreciate each and every one of y'all. Listen to our next episode, which will be recorded live when it's recorded. From underneath the giant American flag in Broussard.
Yes, it would.
Louisiana Pet Crematory and Parish Forensics. And it's going to be awesome.
Yep. All right.
Yes, it is. And shout out to Albert and what was the duck? What's the duck's name?
Wrinkle.
And Wrinkle. And I can't hope you guys are doing well.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. And I'd like to eat you.
Yum. Duck gumbo.
Duck sausage.
Yeah.
That sounds fantastic.
Until next time, I'm Jim Chapman.
Oh, and I'm Woody Overton.
I'm Mike Agnew.
Your host of Real Life, Real Crime Daily. Peace.
Aglets.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.